Ethics of Science and the Phase of Publishing. Now, after writing a report, one problem might turn up. That is, how to define the authorship of the research paper, and how are others that are involved in the research process actually taken into account. Now, one specific question is what is the order of the authors? Idea is that the order of the authors also reflect the importance or the input of the authors. That is, the first author is seen as the most important figure, and the later one comes in the list of the authors, the less important the input is. Sometimes the order or the input is rather difficult to determine, and it could be somehow stated that the input is equally important for each author. Sometimes more specific information is given if some author has a major part in a specific but smaller portion of the report, then that is indicated somehow. But it's not always easy to determine the order. This is important because most of the time the first author is given most credit when measuring the importance and when calculating the input of a scientist, and that goes into the reputation. Reputation of the researcher, and might have an effect on getting funding later and so forth. Another issue is who are included as authors. Now, it is rather commonplace that among authors, it should be included all those that have had a significant input in the report or the research. But there's some discrepancies on some of the ways that in different areas and disciplines and journals this is dealt with, because sometimes only the people who are responsible on writing the report are included, but sometimes everybody that have had an input in the research have been included as well. And this has turned out to be a bit of a problem in some areas. There are examples in so-called big sciences, that is, sciences that deal with very complicated issues, such as research dealing with particle accelerators and doing theoretical physics and empirical physics at the same time. There might be 1,000 authors that are listed in a research report, having all engineers and technicians and theoretical scientists and so forth listed as having an input in the research report. This is somewhat problematic. In human sciences, the list of authors is usually rather short, and quite often only one author is included. So the problem is not so complex there. Now, sometimes research, the chief in the research project is always included in the sub-research projects as an author, and this might be problematic in certain cases. Also, if a student or graduate student or postgraduate student is doing research and publishes the paper, sometimes the supervisor is included, even though the role of the supervisor might not be that important. And this is seen problematic in many cases. Right. Within the publishing process, there's a lot of people involved, potentially at least. But besides the researcher, editors and reviewers are also involved. And the role of the editor is to choose whether the report is publishable in the journal. The reviewers are people who are given the responsibility to review the research and decide whether they support the publication or not. As the reviewers should be as objective as possible, it is a commonplace that in quality journals the review is blind. That is, the editors make sure that the reviewers do not know, or at least they try to make sure that the reviewers don't know who the writer of the report is. Now, it has been studied a little bit, and it has turned out that the blind review is not always, first of all, reliable. That is, the reviewers might guess who the researcher has been, and this would undermine the blind review process. On the other hand, it has also been studied that the blind review is not as efficient as it has been thought, since the reviewer doesn't get credit if the reviewer is anonymous. And when the reviewer is anonymous, then the input on, let's say, the suggestions to improve the paper, they're not getting any explicit credit for it. And if the review process was not blind, and the names of the reviewers are published, then the reviewers might take a little bit more time to improve on the study and the report. And it could be that the quality of scientific knowledge was improved if the blind review process was not in place. On the other hand, this would compromise the basic idea of blind review, that is, reviewing the study in as objective manner as possible. So this is a problem within the publishing field. From the point of view of the scientist that chooses to publish the study, there's a choice to be made relating to the forum of publication. Some journals are regarded as high-end journals. That is, their impact is seen as more important than others. And getting published in a highly important journal is important. However, the valuation of the journal is a bit problematic, since it has turned out that some journals are held in high esteem, but the studies that are published there might not be as cutting edge or truly impactful as in some other journals that are not, generally speaking, held in such a high value. And the situation then turns into a problem for the scientist who has to choose whether to get, so to speak, points from publishing in an important journal, or would the scientist rather have a high impact and a real impact and publish it in a less highly esteemed journal. Now, choosing the forum is therefore rather a complicated matter, or at least it can be. Now, the author has certain responsibilities within the publishing process, and most of the time the guidelines are spelled out in the journals. That is, the journals have instructions for the authors how to proceed, and the author is responsible for the research that is submitted for the journal, and this goes into the ethos of the scientist. That is the ethical virtuousness of a scientist. And the editors and the reviewers, even if they have the responsibility to be critical, they're not in the end responsible for the accuracy and truthfulness of the results. Rather, the scientist always carries the final responsibility. And one ought to be careful when writing a report so that one doesn't disseminate false or inaccurate information. It is rather embarrassing when a scientist is found to have written something that is not true. This is an important thing in scientific community. If a scientist is found to have falsified information, for example, the scientist will lose the reputation, and it could turn out that the scientist will lose the ability to practice as a scientist, because getting funded after getting caught on scientific fraud would result in be unable to participate in the working of science. So that's rather important, and this is held as one basic principles of doing science. Now, it could be the case, and every now and then scientists make mistakes, honest mistakes, despite trying to be as careful as possible. Sometimes it turns out that the results include mistakes. And in those cases, a scientist must inform the journal that there has been a mistake and a correction can be published, or if the mistake is serious enough, then the paper can be retracted from the journal. And this is important because the scientific enterprise is self-correcting in nature, and it is important to weed out the false information from the pile of scientific knowledge. Okay, I'll settle with these points relating to publishing, and This ends the series of videos relating to research process and ethics of research process.